Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, friends, it is the year of legacy here at North Point Community Church, and this summer we've been in a series called Ready, Set, Move, and this is week 5 of that series. We've heard about Noah's story of faith. We've heard about Abraham's story of faith. And today we're going to hear about one of Abraham's great-grandson's stories of faith, Joseph. So let's get right to it. Hebrews 11:22. In the NIRV, it says this: Joseph had faith. Let's say that together. Joseph had faith. So he spoke to the people of Israel about how they would leave Egypt someday. When his death was near, he spoke about where to bury his bones. Here in Hebrews, we are given this snippet of Joseph's faith at the end of his life. Yes, that's right. And here's the definition of the type of faith Joseph had. Hebrews 11:1. The NASB says it this way. It says, now faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. Faith is proof. Faith is a certainty. When I was teaching my daughter, when she was very young, about what it meant to be a person of faith, I always used to say, it's like saying, I know that I know that I know. And I prove it by what I do and I do and I do. I know that I know that I know God is real, that God loves me, that He's for me. And so because I have that certainty, I live like it. By faith, Joseph declared, he proved that he believed what God had promised would come to pass. He couldn't see it because he wouldn't live to see it. But he was confident God would fulfill the promise he had made to his great-grandfather, Abraham. This is how Joseph ends his life. But let's explore how he got there. Today we're going to look really quickly here at the beginning at a timeline of Joseph's life. And what we're going to look at is the pinnacles or the high points, kind of a midway point, and then we're going to look at the pits. We're going to look at the pits. I was looking for the timeline. It's okay. Because I think the pits have something to teach us. So first off, Joseph is born into a dysfunctional family that is full of jealousy and rivalry. Yay. Just a fun fact about his family. His dad had 4 baby mamas. Don't try this at home. Okay, that's my advice. Fast forward 17 years, Genesis 37. I think we find a pinnacle in Joseph's life. Genesis 37:3. Now Israel, or Jacob, Joseph's father, loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. Let's just say this robe is not something for my generation that you order out of the JCPenney catalog. You know what I'm talking about? Did y'all love those catalogs growing up? Okay, you can't find it. You can't find it there. You can't find it on Amazon. This is couture for my fashion people. Where are my fashion people at? You know what I'm talking about? One of a kind. For my shoe people. Any shoe people? I'm a shoe people. Pastor Phillips is a shoe people. I'm going to let y'all know that. This would be like his brothers are all wearing knockoff Ikes, okay? And Joseph is wearing first generation Jordans, fresh out the box, like vintage, okay? All right now. And the Bible says his brothers hated him for it. So they hate him, but for Joseph, this is a pinnacle. And then Joseph does something so smart. He comes to his brothers one day and says, guess what? I've had a dream. And in that dream, all of of you wearing the knockoff Ikes were bowing to me. And then he comes back another day and says, oh, I dreamed another dream. And guess what? All of you, including Dad and all his wives, were bowing down to me too. This is a pinnacle in Joseph's life. Because Joseph is only 17 years old. Abraham was in his 70s when God spoke to him. His grandfather was in his 50s when God spoke to him. His own father was in his 70s the first time that God spoke to him. And here Joseph is, 17, thinking, I've already had the dream. I'm on the fast track. But not so fast, Joseph. Because here come the pits. Here come the pits. The story continues in Genesis 37. Joseph's dad sends him out to check up on his older brothers. So smart. And he says, hey, go see how they're doing and bring me back word. So what's he doing? He's sending him out as like a supervisor, as a foreman. Think about that. And don't you know, Joseph has on the coat. He's not even smart enough to take it off and leave it at home. He's got it on. And so his brothers see him coming from miles away. And they say, yay, look at you. No, the Bible says they say, look at this dreamer. Let's kill him. Oh, you thought your family was dysfunctional. Now you know, right? Let's kill him and throw him into this pit. And then we'll lie to our dad about what happened to him. So then his older brother, the eldest, Reuben, says, no, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in the pit. Because the Bible tells us Reuben was going to come back, get him out of the pit, bring him back to his dad. And scholars say Reuben was going to like try to get in favor with his dad by saying, look, I rescued him. But before Reuben can do that, another brother has a great idea. Let's not kill him. I mean, he's our brother after all. Literally, it says this. Let's sell him as a slave. Let's sell him as a slave. I think it's safe to say this is a pit moment in Joseph's life. So here's where I think we see kind of a midway point. Joseph is sold to a man named Potiphar who works for Pharaoh. And the Bible says this when he gets there, that the Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man. And because of that, Potiphar puts Joseph in charge of everything. The Bible says the only thing Potiphar worried about was what he was going to eat. Don't you wish that was your life? No, okay, I'm just kidding. I don't have to think about anything. But here comes another pit. Here comes another pit. Even though Joseph is honoring God, even though he's working hard, even though he's being successful, he's just out there living by faith because that's all he's got. Here comes another pit. Genesis 39:6 tells us this about Joseph, another fun fact, that he was well-built and handsome. All right now. And I don't think he was ordinary well-built and handsome because Potiphar's wife goes Backstreet Boys concert crazy. She's like, I gotta have him, right? And so the Bible says that she says to him, lie with me. And she's not saying, take a nap with me. And I won't go any further than that because I think you get it. And then it says that she does this to him day after day after day. He refuses day after day after day. He says, I can't dishonor my master. I can't dishonor God. But she just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. And I think this harassment was a pit moment. Because can you imagine just doing your best in a foreign land? You're working hard. You're living by faith. You're doing all the right things. And here's this person harassing you. And then one day, she straight up falsely accuses Joseph of rape. All he was doing was honoring God. And here we go again. He's thrown into prison because he's a Hebrew slave. And I'm telling you, this is not an innocent until proven guilty culture. He had no rights. He's thrown into prison. Here he is in the pit again. Let's speed this up. So he's put in the prison, and guess what happens? He's put in charge again. Because when you live by faith, even when things aren't the best, God can cause you to be the best. That's just how it works. And while he's there, he gets to interpret two dreams of two important men, Pharaoh's cupbearer and Pharaoh's cupbearer, right? And baker. One of them is going to die in 3 days, and one of them is going to get their job back in 3 days. And here is where I think we get a little glimpse into the fact that Joseph is human and hurting. He says this to the cupbearer in Genesis 40, 14 through 15. Only remember me when it is well with you. And please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh. And so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit. And then the cupbearer gets out 3 days later. And he tells Pharaoh, man, this, no, that's not what happens. 2 years go by. Think about that. 2 years. I think this was the pittiest of the pits. Because when you get your hopes up, you know what I'm talking about? You know Joseph was like, 3 days from now, right? Finally, I'm coming. Like, you know, he was singing all the songs. He was doing all the things. And nope, 2 years go by. Think about the mental and emotional pain he was in. But then all of a sudden, 2 years later, the cupbearer remembers him. And he gets out of the pit. And this is where we shout, because he becomes the second most powerful man in the world. Let's go. 13 years later. Yeah. No. You know what we humans love? We love these underdog stories, don't we? We love these rags to riches stories, these Nacho Libre. Who loves Nacho Libre? You know what I'm talking about? He's just doing his thing, crunching up tortillas, and then he becomes a wrestling champion. We love Nacho. Nacho! Right? We love watching these stories. That's such a stupid one. But we love watching these stories from afar, right? And we're cheering for them. They made it. But when it comes to us, we expect life to just be pinnacle after pinnacle after pinnacle. We think that it's the pinnacles that prove that God is real. We think it's the pinnacles that prove that he's all powerful, that he's for us, that he's with us. But do you know where we actually discover those truths? In the pit. Help me preach. In the pits. So why don't we like the pits? Ooh, I know. Because they typically involve suffering. Suffering. Let's just hear these synonyms for suffering and tell me if they make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Hardship, distress, misery, wretchedness. That just sounds like it. You know that's a bad word. Unhappiness, sorrow, heartache, heartbreak. May I be the first to say that when I pick my word for the year, none of these have ever made the list. And I don't think they've made your list either.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Because who loves suffering? But here's another truth about suffering. All of us, on a scale from 1 to 10, have experienced suffering and will experience suffering in our lifetime. Whether it's relationally or physically or financially or whatever. Today, I would like us to try to view suffering in a different light. Three things we can gain through suffering. Three things we can find in our pits. Here's the first one. Preparation. There's preparation in the suffering. Psalm 105, 19 through 20. Psalm 105, 19 through 20. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Then Pharaoh sent for him and set him free. God had prepared a dream for Joseph, but now God had to prepare Joseph for the dream. Oh, there were some practical things Joseph needed to learn, right? He needed to learn how to speak Egyptian, right? So he's got to go. He needs to learn their culture, right? Because he's going to be dealing with all of this stuff behind the scenes. Just think about it. Joseph learned things in Potiphar's house that he would have never learned living at his father's house as the favorite son in the robe, right? He had to learn how to live by faith in God instead of his father's favoritism. Side note, parents, let God have your children. As a mother, I say to you, I know it's one of the hardest things that you will ever do. But they need to learn how to live by faith in God. Can you imagine a 17-year-old, coat of many colors wearing Joseph, being the second most powerful man in the world? That could have been a disaster. He had to learn how to be kind and caring to people from all walks of life because the whole world was coming. He had to learn what it felt like to be a refugee, to be a slave, to be a criminal. He had to learn how people felt in the most desperate of times because the whole world was about to be desperate. He had to learn how to take and give orders with humility. He had to learn how to handle someone else's business with integrity. He had to learn how to forgive. His heart needed sifting. His character needed testing. And nothing tests our character like suffering.
Very good. Very good. Very good.
When we go through adversity, what do we find? We find out what's really inside of us. Remember 2020. Remember? When the people you thought were angels in disguise started acting like, okay, never mind. You know what I mean? It was the adversity that was finally revealing what was in everyone's hearts. Philippians 2:13, this is a familiar verse. It says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Single person, I know that singleness feels like suffering, and I've been where you are. So I know. But listen to me. Don't get married until you've got some character development. You don't want to be practicing through your first marriage for your second marriage. Listen, I've been through a divorce, so there's no judgment here. But what I'm saying, single person, is don't set yourself up for failure. Will you learn things along the way? You better believe it. But you also could learn some things now.
Come on.
Like how to pay your bills on time. Come on. How to clean up after yourself. Oh, yeah. Right? There's some things. How to be nice to people when you don't feel good. Come on, don't practice on your husband. Don't practice on your wife. Figure that stuff out now. Listen, I know you think your boss is the worst person who ever drew breath. And you feel like if you could just get his job, man, everything would work out. The season of suffering would end. But don't try to lead 100 people if you haven't led 10 people well. And if you haven't even learned how to lead yourself well, what kind of leader would you be? You see, when we experience suffering, we think, if I could just get my hands on it. So we quit our job. Right? Because maybe it'll feel better over here, and then it doesn't feel better over there. So now what do I do? It's the same thing. These people are all crazy. So then we quit our job again, right? We just think, if I can grab it, if I can get some power, if I can get some control. Don't crave those things when you're suffering. Crave preparation. Crave character development. Let God work in you. Preparation in the suffering. Number two, purpose in the suffering. Joseph's dreams came to pass. His entire family did come to Egypt. They did bow to him. They did. But I think before this point, Joseph realized that wasn't even the point. How do we know? Because after his father dies, they've been all living in Egypt for some time, and his father dies, and his brothers get so scared. And they get together and say, okay, Dad's dead. He's coming for us. He's relented because Dad was alive, but you know good and well, he's the second most powerful man. He's coming for us. So they go, the Bible says, and they beg for Joseph's forgiveness. And then Joseph starts to cry. He starts to cry, and then he says, do not fear, Genesis 50, 19 and 20. Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? This is another side note, but hear me. People of faith know their place. They know that there is a God, and it's not them. Verse 20. As for you, these are our famous verses here, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Listen to me. What Joseph's brothers did was evil. There are no excuses for what they did. But what God had done in and for and through Joseph was so much bigger and better. It didn't even compare. Joseph had long since forgiven them. When we live with unforgiveness, all we can see is what people have done to us. We magnify that person. We magnify what they've done. But when we walk by faith and not by sight, it causes us to see beyond what we can see. Joseph says, you meant it for evil. I see it. It's clear to me. But that's not all I see. I see that this wasn't about our sibling rivalry at all. And it wasn't even about me ruling over you. God had a bigger plan and purpose at play. He had a purpose for my suffering. Hear me and hear me with compassion. Your mom might have meant it for evil. No excuses. Your ex-husband might have meant it for evil and still might mean it for evil. No excuses. Your boss may be the worst. Okay. The devil himself might be after you. But hear me. God is greater. God is greater. Don't elevate what they've done to you over what he has the ability to do. He really can. He really can work all things together for the good because he's just that good. Whew. Joseph's life teaches us that you can be falsely accused, you can be forgotten, you can be misjudged, but if you will respond with faith and obedience, so many times, I worked here for 13 years, people will say to me, Clarissa, when I'm done with this season of suffering, then I'll go, then I'll serve, then I'll do. Joseph's life teaches us that you can go and serve and do right there in the middle of your pit. And God can use your life to bless other people's lives right there in the middle of your pit. You don't wait to go. Every single season of your life, you can live with purpose because you have a God who is with you, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or imagine. We have preparation in our suffering. There is purpose in our suffering. Don't let the devil rob you of that truth. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. And there's also promises in the suffering. Promises. You know, our seasons of suffering never negate the promises of God. When do we find out that the promise that God will be with us and never forsake us is true? When we're in the valley of the shadow of death, when do we find out that he will supply all of our needs? When we're desperate, when we're in need, and he comes through at just the right time. Hebrews 11:22, let's read it again out of the Amplified Version. Let's see what promise Joseph was holding on to. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, referred to the promise of God for the exodus of the sons of Israel from Egypt and gave instructions, this is faith, concerning the burial of his bones in the land of the promise. Joseph was holding on to this promise the whole time, even at the pinnacle. Long before he was ever alive, God gave his great-grandfather a promise. And Joseph believed that he and his entire family were recipients of that promise. Do you believe that you are a recipient of God's promises? Or when your circumstances are out of order, when adversity and hardship come, do you allow that to change what you believe about you and what you believe about God? Suffering. Hebrews 5:7-8 tells us this about suffering. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. What is this verse saying? That Jesus was rebellious and capable of sin? No. Another Joseph Benson, a Methodist scholar, he describes this verse this way. He says, he, being Jesus, learned obedience by experiencing it, as a man learns the taste of meat by eating it. Thus, he was said to taste of death or to experience what was in it by undergoing it. The obedience he learned was a submission to undergo great, hard, and terrible things, accompanied with patience under them and faith for deliverance from them. If we want to leave a legacy of faith like Jesus, like Joseph, like all these other people we've been talking about, we must undergo great, hard, and terrible things with patience and obedience. Last September, I entered into a season of suffering. There were so many other pinnacles happening in my life, because this is how it can happen, right? Some good things can be happening over here, and then we can be in a pit over here. I was about to release my first book. I was editing it. I was so excited. Some other great things were happening. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes some relational suffering, some emotional suffering, some physical suffering. And I was actually in this room. I was on that back wall during staff prayer. And I feel like the Lord just said to me, "Hey, baby girl, we're going in. We're going in." Mm-hmm. And he led me to Hebrews 5:8. And I put my name in it and I typed it in my phone. "Although Clarissa is a daughter, she will learn obedience through her suffering." And now 9 months later, it's clear to me that obedience in suffering is the evidence of faith. Obedience in suffering is the evidence of faith. It's so easy to say, "I have faith in God," when it's just pinnacle after pinnacle after pinnacle. But when I'm right in the middle of the pit, I find out if I have faith in God or not by how I respond. And so I said, "Lord, okay, if I'm going in," this is how I talk to God, "can you remind me of a few things while I'm in here?" And so I just start typing, "Remind me that you're all that I need, because I don't know what's going to happen. Remind me that all is for your glory, because if it's for your glory, I know I can endure. Remind me that I'm living for another place, because I don't know how long this is going to last." And I need to be reminded that one day I'm getting out of here and I'm going to see you face to face. But it's the fourth thing that has really kept me going these last 9 months. I typed in, "Lord," and I've meditated on this so many times, "remind me that my suffering doesn't change my identity. Remind me that I'm still your daughter, no matter what. Remind me that my name is still written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remind me that there is still a seat at the table for me." You know, I think that's what got Jesus through. He endured intense, immense, we don't have the words for it, emotional, physical, relational suffering. But I think he was able to go through it all because through it all, he knew, "I am the Son of God. My Father loves me. He's still for me." I think this is what got Joseph through. He knew he was a son of the promise. He knew his story wasn't slated to end with what he could see. I don't think becoming Pharaoh's right-hand man was the pinnacle for Joseph. I think it was returning to his family's promised land. I think in comparison, all of the other stuff never measured up. Suffering doesn't change our identity. We are still sons and daughters of promise in this life, and that's why no matter the season, we can live an abundant life. And one day we'll see him face to face. Suffering doesn't change our identity. And listen to me. Listen to me. It doesn't change God's identity either. He's still good. He's still able. He's still every good thing he claims to be. Don't let your seasons of suffering make you start thinking that your God is not for you or that he is not with you. It doesn't change his identity. He still keeps his promises. He's still with you. Suffering. Heartache, heartbreak, hardship. Hebrews 12:7. Let's end with the verse that Pastor Destiny introduced to us in week one. Endure hardship as discipline. Listen to these words. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Suffering doesn't change our identity. We are still children of God. And in order to fulfill our mission and leave a legacy of faith, we must learn to endure great, hard, and terrible things. And learn the lessons our Father wants us to learn right there in the middle of them. We must learn to obey, especially in our pits. Obedience and suffering is the evidence of faith, I'm convinced. A wise Bible teacher once pointed this out to me, and I've never been able to unsee it. That right in the middle of obedience is the word die. Die. Joseph literally died, right? Before his declaration of faith in Hebrews 11 came to pass. And then the Bible gives us this interesting fact. He also had to be forgotten. The Egyptians forgot all about him. And then the Israelites had to suffer some more before the promise could come to pass. He had to literally die, but I think before that, he had to die to himself. He had to learn how to respond with humility when he could have just went, ah, right? He had to learn how to not escape from the jail when he was in charge. I started thinking about all this stuff. I was like, man, Joseph could have just been like, I'm in charge of everything. Let's go, guys. Like one night, just a jailbreak, right? He had to learn how to stay and wait. Ooh, in a hard season. You've been there? Stay and wait. Long before his death, he learned how to die to himself. And in order to be prepared for what God has for us, we're gonna have to learn how to die to ourselves too. But if we will only endure, come on, continuing to be obedient in the midst of our suffering, we will bless the generations the way Joseph did. When we die, we will multiply. Joseph learned obedience through his suffering. He learned how to be a man of faith. He learned how to follow God and trust him with the outcomes of his life. And if it worked for Joseph, hear me, it will work for us too. We end all of our messages with a lead acrostic. So here's ours for today. How we respond to suffering matters. When you start suffering, what do you reach for? Control? More wine? Gossip? Complaining? How do you respond? Evaluate. Am I suffering well? One of my favorite verses in the Bible I've memorized is 1 Peter 4:19. It says, if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. Am I suffering well? Am I continuing to be obedient to God when life gets hard? when you face hardship this week, pay attention to your response. Then pray for strength and make faith-filled choices. And do it again and do it again and do it again. Stand with me. As I was preparing for this message and thinking about the end of it, it was very clear to me that there were two sets of people in the room. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes just so we can focus for a second? There are some people here who are living this life. You are living the life of faith, but you're just weary. You're just weary, and you just need a prayer for strength and endurance for the days ahead. And then I think there's some people in this room who know that instead of responding the way you've been responding, it's time to respond with an act of obedience. It's time to stop complaining about it. It's time to forgive that person for real. It's time to obey. If that's you, if you see somebody to pray with you for endurance, or you know this is your day to take a step of faith, eyes are still closed, would you just raise your hand so I can see you? I want to invite Pastor Philip up. Because I really believe that those of you who are needing a prayer for endurance, you need our pastor, our leader, to pray over you this morning.
Come on, can we just lift up our hands all over this place? Father, God, we thank you for the truth of your word. Season that we are in, so that we can move into the next season that you have for us. God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we would not quit, that we would not lose faith, that we would not give up in this season because of the suffering, but God, that we would learn what it is to walk in obedience, that we would learn what it is to persevere, that we would learn who you are and who we are and what you are trying to do in us in the midst of what is happening around us. God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that in the season of suffering, God, that we would learn what we need to learn about you, about us, about life, about your way, about your principles, about your promises, about your purpose. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that when we come out of the season of suffering, that we would come out stronger, that we would come out more whole, God, that we would come out more convinced, God, that we would come out with more courage and more fight and more favor. God, that when we come out on the other side of suffering, that we would be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God, that our life would be more fruitful than when we walked into the season, so that when we get out of the season and look over our shoulder, God, we will be able to see that in the midst of our suffering, you were still good and you still did great things. And God, even in the midst of all of that, God, it didn't stop you from being who you are or doing what you can do. Yeah. So God, we just once again give it to you and say, Father, help us. Help us in the season. Because God, we know when if we're not dead, then you're not done. And the best is yet to come. And we believe that. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that, put your hands together. Thank God for that message.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.